God doesn't help us because we memorize all the Psalms. He helps us because we are helpless and we put our faith in Him and say, God, if you don't help me, I'm finished.
Just left my first pimp and I was on this rebellious streak. This actually was about 2 months, maybe a month and a half after my pimp had shaved all my hair off. My hair was down to like my back, down to here at the time. He shaved it all off. And
as part
I was
of your punishment.
Part of my punishment for leaving him.
Yeah. Annie spent many years hidden amongst the lights and glamour of Las Vegas. Hidden, meaning you could see her smile and hear her laughter. Both mechanisms used to mask her pain.
That face is a liar. Inside me, I'm just broken inside, you know? Empty, don't know what to do, still in love with my pimp, trying to hide what I was feeling, you know?
Annie says for many women in the sex industry, pain begins long before prostitution. She was a little girl in Minneapolis when her life changed.
There was an age that you started experiencing sexual abuse.
Yes.
You were abused by a woman, actually.
And this was the age?
It was here.
Mm-hmm.
How did that change the way you thought about yourself, even at that age? Because you don't know what to think.
It really does a trick to your brain because you really believe you're evil. I don't think I was ever the same after that. I became very ashamed of myself and just this guilt-ridden personality. Mm-hmm. So I covered it up with a lot of smiles.
Lust for money, drug use, and abusive relationships eventually led to prostitution. Feelings of worthlessness, shame, and fear kept her bound to the lifestyle.
I felt completely hopeless that I would never, ever be able to live a different lifestyle.
So for you, when did you stop acting? When did that mask begin to crumble for you? And you saw your life changing.
For me, it was August 2nd, 2003. And that's the night I overdosed. And I knew I could never
Which
be found
again.
Which
sounds like the most terrible night of your life, and yet you have a smile on your face
it
when
is,
you share
it's
it.
My birthday.
Yeah.
It's my surrender birthday, that's what I call it. It's when I finally said, okay, God, I got the white flag up, I'm done.
Annie says she became passionate about studying the Bible. And when she began watching Joyce's teachings, applying his word to her life became clear.
And those words started entering my heart. Like, it doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, God can make everything new. And I was like, what? He loves me. He's not embarrassed. He's proud of me.
God used his word through Joyce's teaching to change your life. And now you're part of that ministry as a partner.
I am.
Why did you choose to do that?
You can't not partner with someone that changed your life. Sometimes people that are desperate, they're not going to leave their house. Some of the most desperate people are hiding like I was, and they need to hear God's word. And God's word needs to be on every radio station, every television, every internet access, every app on a phone. That voice, the word of God coming through that woman, opened up a brand new life for me.
Annie created a ministry providing a safe place for women to leave prostitution and to begin a new life in Christ. She's their example that through Christ, they can regain the feelings of innocence and purity that were once stolen.
This actually is a picture of me probably about a year after I completely surrendered to Christ.
Your eyes are bright, your smile's big.
Yeah.
You see a big difference between these eyes.
I want to take this picture and look at those eyes and see if that little girl is still there. Yep.
All the good stuff is still in there. All that God put in there?
Yeah. The eyes are still happy.
I'm doing a series called Enjoying Everyday Life. And, you know, that might sound a little bit, kind of fluffy, but The truth of the matter is a lot of people have a very difficult time really enjoying their life. How many of you could use enjoying yours a whole lot more than what you do? And you know, one of the things that we do is we wait for the conditions in our life to become what we think would be enjoyable. If I had more money, I'd enjoy my life. If I didn't have trouble with this kid, I would enjoy my life. If my marriage was better, I would enjoy my life. If I had a different job, I would enjoy my life. If I didn't have all this housework to do all the time, I would enjoy my life. If I didn't have to mow the grass today, I could enjoy my life. But the truth of the matter is we should not put off another moment enjoying our lives. I said, do not put it off one more moment. And don't wait for your circumstances to dictate to you that you can enjoy your life. You make a decision to enjoy your life regardless of your circumstances, because you know what? Those circumstances will change. They will. It'll come to an end. And I don't want to be depressing, but something else will follow it. Now, we all have lived long enough to realize that that's just kind of the way it is. You go through something, it gets over with, you settle down, everything's good for a little period of time, and then here comes something else. And then you get through that, and then everything's good for a little while, and then, boy, maybe you have 2, 3, 4 things come at once. Then you settle down. And the truth is we just need to believe and understand that we can do whatever we need to do through Christ, who is our strength. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I believe that it means that you know you've got the victory before you ever get the problem. So therefore, we don't have to be afraid of problems. Oh, no, not again. Well, I mean, who likes it? I don't like it. Nobody likes it. But the truth of the matter is it is inevitable. No life is going to be perfect and without some troubles, some trials, and some tribulations. If we had perfect lives, we would not need any faith. Faith is not to get us to the point where we never have a problem. Faith is to enable us to stand up to things and to know that with God, all things are possible, and that because He's with us, we can do whatever we need to do. So I'm only saying all that to get you to realize that if you're going to wait until you have no problems to enjoy life, then I guess you'll just still be waiting when Jesus comes to get you, because you're going to have different things happen. And as we all know, every storm is not in the forecast. Amen. Sometimes the weatherman may even say it's going to be sunny today. You may be following my advice and get up and say something good is going to happen to me today. And boy, it just turns out to be a bummer of a day. Well, if you're wise, you'll get up the next day and say something good is going to happen to me today, because you're not going to give up. So I'm not trying to teach people how to enjoy having a vacation or going to a party or getting a new outfit or thank God it's Friday. Not that kind of attitude, where I'm just trying to endure everything else so I can get to the few things in life that I like. But I think it's a great miracle of God when we can take ordinary, everyday, sometimes humdrum life and enjoy it. And just say, I am going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How many of you think that if you made your mind up to it, you could just even enjoy cleaning your house or cutting your grass or driving in traffic? How many of you know it's an attitude? Our joy is not around us, it's in us. It's how we decide to look at things. So three things we want you to enjoy everyday life. Want to teach you to enjoy your life. Stop wanting somebody else's life. Enjoy your life. And one of the best ways to do that is to do the things that you would normally do that are just common, ordinary, everyday things that don't seem at all spiritual to you, and do them as a service to God. In other words, God, I'm going to do my grocery shopping with you for your honor and your glory. I'm going to go out with a good attitude. And you know what? You may have an opportunity to make a big difference in somebody else's life if you get your mind off how miserable you are about going and just decide you're going to go with God and see what He does. I think if you hang out with God all day, every single thing that you do could turn out to be an adventure. I want to talk to you about learning how to receive from God. Because what we usually do is spend our time trying to get things. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get my breakthrough. And you know what? There's nowhere in the Bible that even really, I don't know, even uses that word. But the word receive is all over the place. And the word receive means to act like a receptacle and just take in what's being offered. Don't you feel the rest of that already? But get means to obtain by struggle and effort. So one of the things that we must do if we want to enjoy our life, now listen to me, is stop trying to make happen what either only God can make happen or what he has in fact already made happen. And all we need to do is believe it and receive it by faith. I think we spend a lot of our time trying to get things we've already got. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more to you later. The Bible says that we are to accept and welcome and receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Otherwise, we will in no wise enter in. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not accept and receive, everybody say receive. And welcome the kingdom of God like a little child shall not in any way enter into it at all. So I'm going to show you a little example, and it will help you understand. Kids, can you come on out, please? I got me some helpers tonight. Oh, aren't they sweet? Let's see. I want everybody to be able to see you, so where should I have you stand? I guess we'll just go right over here, okay? All right. Do you guys like money? Do you? You like money? What would you think if I just gave you some money? All right, you get it? He says, I'll take it. Boy, God wishes we were that way. You mean, you think I would just give you money for no reason? What do you think? What if I just gave it to you and said, you don't have to do anything for it except just believe I'm going to give it to you? There's some for you. What do you think? How about you? Ooh, oh my gosh, don't let anybody else get it. How about you? Oh, you're a sweet receiver. There, how about that? Maybe I'll have some left and somebody will get some more. I don't know.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. One out of the five so far said thank you. Thank you, you're a good looking guy. How about you? You're so sweet. I got a little bit left. I don't have enough for everybody. Should I tear them in half and start giving them away? I don't know. Who really wants to have more? All right, there you go. There you go. I don't have enough to give it to everybody. You're the littlest. There you are. You're the biggest. There you are. All right. Give them a clap there. Thank you. You can go back. Now, I want you to notice that they received what I offered without question. They didn't try to figure out why I would give it to them. They didn't say, oh, no, I don't deserve that. They didn't even do what most adults do. Do you know most adults, when you try to bless them, even Christians, the first thing they say is, oh, no, you don't have to do that. Stop that. If you're going to pray for God to bless you, when somebody tries to bless you, just say, that is awesome. Praise God. Thank you. I don't like that. Oh, no. You want it. You're just going to make somebody try to push it off on you. There are so many things that God has for us. So many things that he wants to do for us. And we keep trying to earn and deserve what God is giving us freely. And we need to stop it. Now, we are supposed to work, but we are supposed to avoid works. You say, huh? That's a brain twister. Jesus said we must work the works of him who sent me. So he said we're going to work, but it's not going to be our works. It's going to be his works. Our works. Now listen, I got a bunch of scripture tonight. I really want you to get this. Our works, the Bible calls works of the flesh. And it's our energy trying to buy from God what he has already given freely or wants to give us freely. For example, you can never earn forgiveness. You cannot deserve forgiveness. You cannot earn forgiveness. You cannot buy forgiveness with hours of prayer or hours of Bible reading. There's only one thing that you can do about forgiveness when you sin is ask for it, receive it, and be amazed. Did you hear me? Ask for it, receive it, and be amazed. And I think if we would learn more about just receiving the goodness of God, we would live more amazed, and I think we would be a lot happier than what we are right now. Anybody understanding this? All right. Receive like these little kids did tonight. I like that little boy. I said, who wants some money? And he said, I'll take it. I just told God, you know, the word says you're looking for somebody to bless. I just want you to know, here I am. Here I am. You say, well, that just doesn't sound right. You don't deserve that. Well, that's what makes it exciting, is that we don't deserve it. God's not looking for somebody that's deserving. He's looking for somebody that knows they're not deserving, but by faith will receive anyway and glorify God for everything he does in their lives. That's why it's so amazing when you take somebody that has lived such an awful, terrible, ridiculously sinful life to watch them receive the forgiveness and the mercy of God and be changed into a new creature who can let go of the past and press on to the good things that God has. How could you be anything but excited about that? And how could we not want to tell other people what God has done for us? Children have no problem receiving what they've not deserved or earned. To receive, once again, means to act as a receptacle or a container. And to just permit to enter or to receive whatever is being offered. But to get means to come into possession of or to obtain, to go after and obtain, to take by force, to seize, to require as a result of action or effort. Now, the Bible says that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we want to look at this. It's our classic scriptures about salvation. For it is by grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made a partaker of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. No matter how many good works we did, we could never make up for our sin. Only Christ could do that, and he has already, in fact, done that. This is why the gospel is such good news that, to be honest, it really makes no sense at all that there's so many unhappy Christians. I mean, you're not going to hell. That ought to be enough to keep us happy for a while. Amen? You know, there's a lot of talk today about the conditions in the world, and surely we're living in the end times and Jesus is coming soon. You know what? That doesn't frighten me at all. I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready today if he wants to take me. And that's a good feeling. I'm looking forward to the fullness and the completion of all that God has for me. And you don't have to live in fear if you know that you're born again. And if you don't know that you're born again, then we would love to help you tonight. And if you're watching by television and you don't have the assurance of salvation and you want to receive Christ as your Savior, call the number on your screen right now, and somebody at my office will pray with you and lead you by faith into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So really, if you think about the condition you were in when you were saved, you basically came to the end of yourself, didn't you? It's like, I am so miserable that I really just don't think I could be miserable anymore. I can't help myself. God, take me, God, just the way I am. Save me, Jesus. Help me. Okay, now watch that. What? You get that. How many of you remember that surrender, that I'm done? Finished. If you can do anything with me, take me and do it, because I'm lost without you. But do you know the Bible says in Colossians 2:6 that the same way that you were saved, that's the same way you have to learn how to live? Ooh, that is so good. Let's look at it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. This was really eye-opening to me when I saw this many years ago. It was like, wow, the same one who began a good work in you is the one that will finish it. And he will finish it the same way that he started it, as you put your faith in him and he pours his grace into you. Everything, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk and regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in unity with and conformity to him. As you have received Christ Jesus, so live your life and walk the same way that you received him. In other words, you don't have to get up every day and be all stressed out and go through the day frustrated and struggling because you're trying, you're trying, you're trying, you're trying. I'm trying to pray more. I'm trying to read more. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to make my confessions. I'm trying. Oh my gosh, I forgot to say something good's gonna happen to me today. Oh Lord. Oh yeah, we're always giving you guys something new to do, you know, and to be honest, you can't remember it all. So you get up every day and you do the best you can and you trust God to take care of the rest. You put your faith in him and you know that your salvation is not earned by your confession. It's not earned by how much you read the Bible. It's not earned by how many hours you pray or how much scripture you've got memorized. If you can read your Bible through 10 times every year, and that's not gonna earn you salvation or God's help. God doesn't help us because we memorize all the Psalms. He helps us because we are helpless and we put our faith in him and say, God, if you don't help me, I'm finished. Is there anybody in the building tonight that's tired of trying to make something happen that you just cannot make happen? Anybody here trying to change your kids? Anybody trying to change yourself? Oh my gosh. Whatever your project is, whoever you've got on the potter's wheel, why don't you just go home and let them off and give them a little joy? And instead just pray and let God do what only God can do, because he's the only one that can transform and change a life. How can you change? Not by hearing messages and going home and trying to make them work in your life. My goodness, I tell you what, if you were as bad as I was, I needed everything I heard. everything. And every preacher gave me something different to do. I was to make confessions and get up early and pray, and we had to read the Bible through in a year plan. And, you know, I mean, it was just one thing after another after another. And then I would hear messages about being careful with your mouth and not talking too much, and I had to hear messages about the mind, and so I would decide that I was going to go home and not say anything so that way I didn't make any mistakes with my mouth. Come on, you know where I'm at? And then I'd just be real super quiet. Then people would say, what's wrong with you? And then I'm like, that figures. You don't like it if I talk. You don't like it if I do talk. People just aren't happy no matter what you do. But here's the wild thing that I noticed. When I shut my mouth as an act of discipline, I would get depressed. By the time late in the afternoon came, I was so down. And I didn't understand. I said, God, why do I feel so down? I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you've shut your mouth, but nothing's changed on the inside. At least when you were talking, you were letting some of the pressure out. Now it's all in there. Well, yes, we should respond to the messages that we hear, but what we need to do is go home and say, you know, God, I was really convicted by that word tonight. That really touched my heart, and I really want to grow in that area. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to teach me in this area, and God, I need you to change me because I know that I cannot change myself. And then your part is to study the word in that area. Because the Word of God contains the power to save your soul, according to the book of James, chapter 1. The Word of God, if received in meekness, contains the power to save your soul. So our part is not to go home and try really hard to change, but if you feel like you've got a mouth problem, then go home and read every book you can find on the mouth. I've got two or three out there, plus a bunch of CDs and DVDs and everything else, because I had a lot of mouth problems, so I teach on that a lot. You got to have the Word. We are changed by the power of God's Word. And our part is to study the Word. As we look into the Word of God faithfully, we are changed into His image from glory to glory to glory. If you continue in my Word, Jesus said in John 8, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? So I changed my trying for trusting. And I decided that I would try to live the same way that I was saved. God, you got to help me. God, if you don't change me, I don't know what's going to happen, but this is it. If you don't change me, this is what you're stuck with. There's no point in promising God, oh, God, please, if you'll just forgive me, I'll never do it again. Please, God, just forgive me and I'll never do it again. Why don't you just tell the truth and say, God, I trust that you will forgive me because your word says that you've already paid for all my sins. So I receive your forgiveness and I receive your mercy. And I'm just going to kind of be honest with you and tell you, if you don't help me, I will definitely do it again. And I'm not suggesting that we make no effort, but it's not a fleshly effort that we make. Amen? Is anybody in the building worn out from trying? How many of you are just trying really hard to be a good Christian? You know, a good Christian is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a good Christian. If we could be good, we wouldn't need Christianity. Yeah, I know, you're going to have to think about this a little bit. Any goodness we have in us came from God. It's not our own goodness. And any good thing that we do, we give God the praise for it and the credit for it. And we know right then I'll never do another good thing in my whole life if you don't help me. I'm talking about doing everything with and for God and giving Him the credit and the glory. The same way you were saved, that's the same way we need to learn how to live. God is not for sale, and we cannot buy him with our good works. And when we do good things, God doesn't owe us anything because we did. Come on. Come on, if you get up and pray the first 2 hours of every day and you read 6 chapters in your Bible every morning, God doesn't owe you anything. So then when you have a problem and God doesn't show up the minute you think he should, you can't kind of think about, well, no. I mean, I pray 2 hours every day. Better watch it. Better watch it. Doesn't it make you mad when God blesses somebody that isn't nearly as spiritual as you are? Because, see, we think if we're good, then God owes us. And we should be the ones that God just does everything for. But we need to get rid of that attitude that I'm going to do this so I can get something from you. Anything good that we do, I remember one morning the Lord said to me, will you stop acting like you're doing me a favor when you read the word? I already know it. You're reading it for you. We're not doing God a favor. We don't get some kind of check marks on our heavenly works calendar when we read the Bible, or when we pray. We pray if we've got any brains at all so we can get help from God. Prayer is a privilege. It's not an obligation and a duty. And reading the word is smart. It shows you how to manage and run your life in a way where you can have the most blessed life that you could possibly have. Now, let's look at a very interesting scripture, Luke 17, 7 through 11. I don't know that I've ever shared these scriptures from the pulpit, so here goes. You say, a scripture she's never shared. Will any man of you who has a servant plowing or tending sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come in at once and take your place at the table? Will he not instead tell him, get my supper ready and gird yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, then afterward you yourself shall eat and drink. Is he grateful and does he praise the servant because he did what he was ordered to do? Now watch verse 10. Even so on your part, when you have done everything that was assigned and commanded you, then you say, we are unworthy servants, possessing no merit, for we have not gone beyond our obligation. We have merely done what was our duty to do. Mike loves it. He's the only one in the building that loves it. So what's he saying? After you've done your full duty to God, after you have loved him with your whole heart, after you have served, after you've tithed, after you've been regular in church, after you've done all these things, then you say, God, I still don't deserve anything because I can never do enough good to earn your goodness in my life. And so I'm grateful for everything that you do for me. You see, when you don't think that you deserve anything, you get happy and grateful about everything that God does for you. Does anybody understand me? So we want to work, but we don't want to get into works. Works of the flesh is our energy trying to do what only God can do. So here's what we do. We do what God gives us to do. And then we trust God to do what only he can do. And how do you know when you're in works of the flesh? When you start feeling frustrated. Because boy, do we get frustrated when we're trying to make something happen that only God can make happen. I used to get so frustrated at Dave. So frustrated at my kids. I was mad at one of my kids because they were just like me and I didn't like that. Because they were always trying to control me and buck up against my authority. That was my oldest son. And then my oldest daughter was lazy and sloppy, and I didn't like that. And my younger daughter was an extreme perfectionist, and I didn't like that either because she was so... She'd do her homework and just be in her room, and if she made one little tiny mistake on the piece of paper, she'd wad it up and throw it away, and I would be like... And I'm trying to change this one, trying to change that one, and trying to change this one, trying to change that one, trying to change Dave, trying to change myself. Does anybody get the picture? And I was like, oh, I was so thankful when I finally realized that I could not do that, but God could make each one of us to be what He wanted us to be if I would put my trust in Him. Some of you have got some projects that you need to give up on, and you need to turn them over to God tonight before you leave this building. And then you know what's left to be done? You might be able to enjoy your life. Come on. You might actually be able to enjoy yourself while God's changing your husband. You say, well, what if he never changes? Well, then I guess if he never changes, you'll just trust God to give you enough grace to put up with it with a smile on your face. You want to know the truth? Dave hasn't changed much. Well, he hasn't. He still does all the things that used to aggravate me. But now, lo and behold, God changed me. And now I don't care. I mean, it's true. I don't care if he goes home and plays golf when we get home from this conference. I used to get so mad when we'd go home from a conference and he'd go right out and play golf. I mean, the pity party was on. Well, I worked all weekend. I'm tired. Everybody just takes everything I've got, and then the party's over, and I'm just here all worn out. You go out and play golf, and nobody cares about me. And I said to him yesterday, why don't you go play some golf when we get home tomorrow? We're going to get home, because see, now I just like, oh, man, I can have the house quiet and by myself, and I'll be in charge of the remote, and I can eat what I want. And that's it. We love each other more than ever, but I've gotten smarter. Don't fight a battle that you're not going to win. I better say that to these people. Don't fight a battle that you're not going to win. How about some of you guys up there? Don't fight a battle that you're not going to win. And see, we think, well, I just can't stand it if you don't change. Yes, you can. Just get your mind off what somebody's not. Let God work on you, and don't be so uptight about everything all the time. You know, righteousness is a wonderful teaching in the Bible. That he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. What a great exchange. He takes your sin and gives you his right standing with God. God views us and sees us as in Christ. When you come to God and ask for something in Jesus' name, the Bible says, in the Amplified Bible, it says, you are presenting to God all that Jesus is. You're not presenting your own record of good works. Every time you say in Jesus' name, you're saying, and do this for Jesus' sake because he deserved it, he earned it, and I'm only here to receive it. I don't deserve it. That's why I don't come in my name. I come in his name. That's the whole point in praying in Jesus' name. And Paul prayed in Philippians 3. These are the things sometimes it would be fun to just have about a three-day Bible study and just sit down and go through scripture after scripture after scripture and let people ask questions and really get them a breakthrough in these areas. Paul said, that I might be found and known as in him, not having any supposed righteousness based on my own works, but only that true righteousness that he can give that is received by faith and faith alone. Can you believe tonight that as much as you have done wrong in your life and as much as you will still do wrong in your life, that if you have received Christ as your Savior, that right now, while you're still doing things wrong, that God views you and sees you as his own righteousness. That doesn't mean that you do everything right, but it means that God has given you his right standing, and now because you have a seed of rightness in you, you will be able to produce right behavior as you continue your walk and your journey with God. But I tell you what, I kept trying to be right. I tried to read the Bible through every year with a bunch of other people in my church because I thought that would be right. And we had an intercessor come to the church and she prayed every day from 5 to 9. And I tried to do that because I thought that would be right. God would be happy with me if I did that. And I prayed the first 5 minutes and then got bored silly and didn't know what I was going to do for the next 3 hours and 55 minutes. And finally had what I now lovingly call a prayer nap. Do any of you have prayer naps? I love those. And God gave me this example. It's actually something he spoke to my heart. He said, you know, Joyce, you're spending your life trying to get what you've already got. He said, it's like trying to get in a chair you're already sitting in. So I'm sitting in this chair. So now if I started trying to get in the chair that I'm sitting in, boy, this is so absolutely, totally frustrating. See, that's what we do to ourselves when we try to get what God has already given us. That's why we need to know who we are in Christ and understand the finished work of the cross and what he has already done for us. And we need to, while we're still not producing all of it, still believe that it's ours as our inheritance from God. We are not laborers, we are inheritors. Do you know, and it just doesn't seem fair at all, that our children and grandchildren will get whatever money we have left and whatever property we have left that we worked for and we earned and we deserved, and they're just going to get it. Almost makes me sometimes just want to see how fast I can spend it. Now, not really. I don't feel that way at all because I love them. And actually, I find myself trying to produce ways that I can be a greater blessing to them. Well, if we can feel that way in our human state, how much do we think that God feels that way about us? The will has been signed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are inheritors. Amen. You have inherited right standing. Because Jesus is righteous, you get what he got. Let me tell you some of the things that the Bible says that we are to receive. As usual, I'm about 4 pages behind on my notes. Receive the Holy Spirit. Just take a few minutes every morning and say, Holy Spirit, I receive your fullness today. Strengthen me today and enable me to do everything that I do with a good attitude and good temper. And then just take a moment and receive. I think we think that prayer is nonstop talking. Take time and receive. I receive your presence, God. I receive your mercy. I receive your forgiveness. We don't take the time to do that. The Bible says, ask and receive that your joy might be full. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the word with meekness. As many as received and welcomed him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Receive forgiveness of sins. Receive the grace of God. Receive your inheritance. Receive mercy for your failures. Receive the result of your faith. Receive all the good things that God has created with thanksgiving, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you know that we receive easier from the devil than we do God? How many of you are really good at receiving condemnation and guilt? Okay, let me tell you a little bit about guilt. You know really what it is? It's our way of trying to pay God for the mistakes we've made. Who would dare to think that they could make a big mistake, receive forgiveness, and just go on as if nothing happened? I don't know about you, but I used to have my sins divided up in categories. Small, medium, and really big. A small sin, I'd only have to feel guilty maybe half a day. Medium-sized sin, a couple of days. But boy, if I did a really bad thing, then I was on a 2 or 3 week guilt trip. And God taught me, you're just feeling bad as a way of paying for your sins, but they've already been paid for. They've already been paid for. If they're paid for, then you don't need to pay. Amen? No, I guess I need to go slower. I don't know that you guys are really getting it. Well, you can't just do something bad and then just go have a good time. Well, I mean, if you really believe the word, I think from what I'm seeing, you can. And that doesn't mean you're not genuinely sorry. That doesn't mean that you're not really, really sorry for what you did. But if we believe the Bible, that He completely cleanses us once and for all by His blood, He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more, then may I make a suggestion? Stop talking God about things that He's forgotten. Okay. We receive fear from the enemy. We receive his lies. We receive negative feelings about ourselves. We receive shame. We receive guilt. We receive discouragement. We receive depression. We receive disappointment. I am not going to spend the rest of my life being better at receiving from the devil than I am from God. I'm going to be a good receiver. God is trying to teach us that when we do something wrong, He would much rather that we receive His mercy than to try to give Him a sacrifice to make up for what we did. Because we do that by faith. It's almost too good to believe, isn't it? I think probably this is one of the things that people love to hear the most when they hear the teaching of God's word, is that they actually really can get over the things that they've done wrong and go on with their life and not even smell like smoke. Isn't it good to know that you can go in the furnace of affliction and come out and not even smell like smoke? Now, if we really want to enjoy our lives, we need to know how to believe God's promises and to receive all that He has for us. I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of years just receiving the lies of Satan because I didn't know any better. And I'm so grateful now that I've learned that he is a liar, that I can resist him, and to instead of doing what I used to do, I can now receive the goodness of God into my life, and you can too. Now today we're offering you a couple of resources. And you know, the Word of God, there's nothing more important to you than the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So really, when we spend time in the Word, we're spending time with Jesus. So today we're offering you a book that I've written called 20 Ways to Make Every Day Better and some CDs called Simple Practical Changes with Real Results. Now, who would not want that? I think anybody who's got a bad situation or you're having a lousy day, you'd love somebody to just say, here's something simple, practical, it's doable, and this is going to change your life. So I think that these resources are going to really be helpful to you. And I want to encourage you to get all the information you need and order your copy right away.